issue, you are going to bend to avoid the effect of that money, whether or not it's going to decide the race. If you're someone who would otherwise be a strong climate activist, what you know that if you mention a carbon tax, $1 million will drop from some anti-carbon tax super PAC. You won't talk about it, he said. Thiel's bid to overthrow the system, in other words, goes well beyond his ability to determine which party controls the Senate next year. The money will solidify the notion that the country is being run by psychopaths, at least among a hardcore of Republican voters, analysts warn, and will further harden the ideological battle lines that have split the country in two and made common ground ever harder to find. It also brings the extreme opinions of Nat Khan further into the mainstream, making it easier for radical Republican candidates to run and win in future races, they say. We are at a crisis point here. Not so much because the ideas are hard to defeat, but we don't have a context in which to defeat them, Lessig said, adding, the fact that the same number of people believed the election was stolen as believed it on January 6 is a profound indictment of the information ecology in America. The Brennan Center believes there are ways of improving the system, at least at the state and local level, and points to efforts in both red and blue states to close certain loopholes and introduce public financing models to rein in the influence of the mega donors. Lee said she would also like to see federal legislation to build a meaningful firewall between campaign funds and super PACs. She said, the legislation exists, and it would be a constitutional improvement even under the Citizens United ruling. All we need is the political will to act.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. Welcome to another episode of Muslim Lady. In here, we're talking about the topics that are most interested to Muslim ladies. Well, I am Asma, your humble host, and here with me, I have Sister Zainab to help us with some information about the book that we recently have started to talk about. In this book, we are gathering some information about the personal and also social aspects of life of Sayyida Zahra, Salamullah alayha. Since we, as Muslim, follow Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam because they are the practical example of the perfect Muslim, according to the Holy Book of Quran. So we go for Lady Fatima, Salamullah alayha, in order to get more of how to be as a real Muslim lady.
Yeah.
We talked about clothing and how to pick the certain sort of dress that is not going to be making you pick out from the crowd. And we talked about the purity of our dress. We talked about the cleanliness a lot more, actually. We went through too much of information considering that. Right now, we are going to finish the part which is related to clothing.
So we were talking about the etiquettes or ethics related to clothing, and we said that they should be clean, they should be pure, they should be simple, they preferred white colors over other colors, and they would avoid clothes that would make them look the way you mentioned it, pick you from crowd. So
yeah.
Avoid wearing clothes as Muslim ladies that make you center of attraction, and stop being brand freaks.
And it actually is for our benefit, you know.
When I say stop being brand freaks, I don't mean that do not wear brands or wear like some, you know, kind of non-brand
torn
clothes.
Out dresses.
Sometimes brands are very, very good. But if a brand is making you center of attraction, then avoid that brand.
Yeah.
Because brands are mostly, you know, most of the times they would advertise a brand because they would pick you out from the crowd. That's why I'm saying.
And if it becomes something that you always think
exactly,
about.
But
it,
maybe sometimes there are brands that would look simple and modest.
Yeah.
Go for them. What I'm trying to say, keep it simple and keep it modest. When Fadak was taken over from Lady Zahra, salam alayha, she as a mark of protest went to the mosque and just to give the sermon and all. And while traveling towards the mosque, somebody is narrating that the length of her chador was on the ground. Even if you see today.
So you mean that her clothes, her dress was actually walking behind her?
I wouldn't say exactly that because that would make you again an untidy and impure person. This shows her state of distress at that time.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm trying to tell that when you have a choice between choosing very small or short clothes and lengthy clothes, go for lengthy ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because you definitely look... You know, even if we have Barbie dolls out there, we see they look much more beautiful in the gowns, in the long gowns. So I'm trying to say, if you have a choice to pick up between the short dresses and long dresses, go for lengthy
Actually,
ones.
Actually, we're talking about the street when you are about to go out.
Yeah.
This is how you have to represent yourself
exactly.
in front of others.
I would try to cover this portion in another part of etiquette that is related to beauty.
So
I would like come that to there, but out here in clothing, I would want to say that lengthy clothes were also one of the features her clothes would have. But this does not mean you should have as long clothes that they fall on the ground and they keep you, you know.
Yeah, and it becomes
a tail like
yeah.
because there are some dresses they say that this dress has a tail. No. Her chador falling on the ground at that time shows her state of distress, and because she's going out there as a mark of protest and all. So distress is sometimes something we don't have to mix up these things. Our clothes should be taily and all. They should be long enough, okay, but we have to take care of cleanliness because that was the first very primary
yeah.
factor that we discussed
it's
about.
That's a major point.
Yeah, so apart from all these things that you need to take care of while... you're dressing yourself or you're dressing your children, you're giving gifts to your husbands in terms of clothing.
Yeah.
So take care of these other things that were there in the clothing features. What was that? They would recite dua while wearing the clothes.
Uh-huh.
So while you're... This is very, very important. Like, especially they would... Whenever they would go for new clothes, whenever they would start wearing it, they would recite dua. This is very, very beautiful. Like when you're having something, you actually dua is a kind of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking him for what he gave you.
It's a sign of showing your gratitude.
Yeah.
So thank you, sister, and thank you to our listeners. Muslim ladies, let's go for a short break. We'll be back and stay with us. Welcome back. This is Muslim Lady and we're talking about clothing still. Sister Zainab is giving some points about the manners of dressing up.
So I was saying some of the etiquettes that we take care of while dressing. Mm-hmm. That was to recite dua while you're dressing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And teach this to your children. As a mother, this is very, very important that you teach your children that let's recite some dua while you're wearing clothes. Let's thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And teach your children that this dress was given to... Because this is one of the teachers of Imam Khomeini, who a teacher of mystics, I guess, who tells Imam that if you want to teach about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your kids, tell them whenever you buy something, tell them that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was the ultimate provider. Your dad is a mediator who got this. So ask, whenever you need a new thing, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for money so that your father can buy it.
So always keep in mind, who is the founder of all the blessings
you have? Who is the ultimate provider? Yeah. Your father is a mediator who's just sustaining you. But it's actually the actual sustainer and provider of things is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, while having these etiquettes, beautiful etiquettes, while you're clothing your kids and you're telling them, teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching them about to recite dua, another thing was that they would wear from the right side. So always teach your kids, like, whenever you're wearing a dress, or even do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes whatever you do, they see you, they watch you doing those things, like you're wearing an overcoat over your clothes. They see you wearing from right arm, they pick up. Sometimes it's not necessary that you always keep on lecturing and repeating.
Exactly.
And them. Sometimes you do yourself and they pick up from you.
Yeah.
So always try to wear from right side and recite dua and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after wearing some new clothes. And always give away extra clothes. Please do that.
Because that's
women have a habit of
keeping too much of dresses.
I should have all colors. I should have all brands. I should have, whether I wear them or not, doesn't matter.
This is the important
part. But my cupboard should be full. No, this is not an Islam. She would give away everything. She would have extra. Even I'll tell you a very beautiful story about that. Lady Zahra salamu alayha gave away her wedding dress on the very first night to someone who was in need. Then the next day, she would have only two dresses at that time. She gave away her wedding dress and she kept old one for her. What about you as a Muslim lady? What would you do if you had this choice to keep a wedding dress or to keep an old one? Which one would you keep?
Very difficult.
It's a very, maybe I would give away none because I just have two pieces.
Exactly.
Maybe I would give away none because there's, I just wanted to break another stereotype over here. In our Asian cultures, the culture that I come from, we have this thing in the minds that your wedding dress should never be given to anyone. It's your wedding dress. It's your. It's very important. It has some, I don't know, it has something with it. No, it has nothing with it.
Yeah, it's a dress.
It's just a dress. It has nothing with it. It has nothing got with your wedding or your relationship with your husband.
Yeah, it's not going to have any effect on your life.
Exactly. Because just learn from Lady Zahra Salman Aleyha. She gave her wedding dress on the very first night to a needy person. And then next morning when her father, Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, comes to see her and says, "Dear Fatima, why are you wearing an old, you know, dress? You had a new wedding dress. Why didn't you wear that?" And she says that, "I tried to follow your footsteps. There was a needy person and I gave away." And the Prophet again asks her a question. Again, he questions her. "You could have given away this old one kept the new one." She said, "Again, I tried to follow you because the moment my mother, Lady Khadija, salamu alayha, she give away everything in the way of Islam, and she would give you, yeah, I don't know, niv clothes or something like that. You also gave your niv clothes to the needy ones and kept old ones for you. So how can I be different from you?
Yeah.
This is actually...
These are the models of Muslim ladies.
Exactly. This narration is quoted from Imam Ali alayhi salam, basically, because at the time of her, when she was near to her death and she was very, very ill, she says to Imam mm-hmm. Ali, there's a kind of box, and in that box there's a green kind of cloth, and in that cloth there's a certificate. So what was that certificate? That was a certificate given to her by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signed by the angels like Jibreel and Mikhail. And what were they saying in that certificate? That you have got the authority to save those who love you and your family. Mm-hmm. And when was this certificate provided to Lady Fatima Zahra salam alayha? This was provided to her when she gave up her wedding dress that night.
Which
when
is
she,
very
when
beautiful.
Prophet asks her this conversation that we just talked about, she's given, like, Jibreel comes in mm-hmm. and gives her the certificate signed by himself and signed by another angel, Mikhail, and then she keeps it in the green clothing. In
such
the affair.
Delicate facts and points that we have to learn from our model
exactly.
as a Muslim lady. So, sister, thank you. Dear listeners, let's go for a short break, but stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. So in here we're talking about how to dress up as a Muslim lady, and we actually learned so much. Sister Zainab gave us a beautiful story about Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha, which is our main model as a Muslim lady, and we understood that through devotion and through kindness of a Muslim lady, she gave away her wedding dress, which has a lot to say.
Which in itself has a lot to say. Yeah. See, Asma sister, we have infaq in Islam, and we have giving away, we have charity, we have so many.
Which is charity.
We have a lot of things. This is the highest form of charity. Like, infaq is not just simple charity, it's the highest form. It's a kind of, you know, giving wherein your heart pinches.
Exactly.
You know, it's when you have extra, you give away extra things.
And
that's
you
different.
Have not much of a thing.
That,
you know?
That's really different. When you have extra, you give away extra things. That's totally different. But when you have very few and you give away best of it, and that's called as infaq in Islam.
Yeah.
So this is the highest form of charity, as Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam puts it, says, whatever you wish for yourself, wish for
exactly
the other person.
For
whatever
other fellow.
Exactly. So this is what he even says in his wills, a list of wills that he gives to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam. For the first time I started giving away something that was very close to my heart, it pinched me. But at the same time, I had a satisfaction I never got from any other thing.
Yeah, and it really gives you, now that you're talking about that satisfaction, giving away the things that are precious for you is something very much enjoyable.
Exactly. Just see, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about salat, he talks about zakat. Giving away, giving away, giving away. You know, just give away. And in one of the surahs of Quran, he explicitly defines the qualities of salihun. And one of the qualities of salihun is to go for infaq.
Yeah.
Not a simple form of charity, but the highest form of charity. Salihuns are the ones who pray.
Yeah. So this was very interesting. We actually had a nice time listening to whatever you have provided us with. Thank you for sharing all that nice information with us, Sister Zainab. And thank you, dear ladies. And now this is all the time that we had for today's episode. Thank you for sticking with us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Mm-hmm. food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a short and sweet saying worth pondering upon from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of the Prophet of Islam. Reasonless laughter is a sign of ignorance.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist, I said. Children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Youssef Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's Snowland at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on 2 major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Youssef Jalali from Kish Island.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
It's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas, and, you know, the subjects. And and of course we have in those areas the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a 3-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cake Land, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cake Land after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s.
Today's special. It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, wherever you are. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah on the program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. Too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Thursday, is the first of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We bless the Holy Quran. We'll look at verse 16, chapter Ar-Ra'd.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قل من رب السماوات والأرض قل الله قل أفاتخذتم من دونه أولياء لا يملكون لأنفسهم نفعا ولا ضرا قل هل يستوي الأعمى والبصير أم هل تستوي الظلمات والنور أَمْ جَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَاءَ خَلَقُوا كَخَلْقِهِ فَتَشَابَهَ الْخَلْقُ عَلَيْهِمْ قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ.
Say, who is Lord of the heavens and earth? Say, Allah. Say, have you then taken besides him allies, not possessing even for themselves any benefit or any harm? Say, is the blind equivalent to the seeing, or is darkness equivalent to light? Or have they attributed to Allah partners who created like his creation, so that the creation of each seemed similar to them? Say, Allah is the creator of all things, and he is the one, the prevailing.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One can infer from the verse that the process of creation is a continuous matter, and Allah is continuously shedding rays of existence, in which case every being is benefiting existence from his pure essence from moment to moment. Therefore, the process of creation and administration of the world of existence are both in his own power, just like the oneness of creation. Remember, we're speaking about thinking well of Allah. Thinking positively of Allah is a great act of worship of the heart, but many people
have not understood it correctly. Thinking positively of Allah means believing in what is appropriate to Allah. May He be exalted of names, attributes, and actions. Believing in the great impact that they have on His creation, such as believing that Allah bestows mercy on those who deserve it and pardons them if they repent and turn to Him, and He accepts their deeds of obedience and worship, believing that Allah has great wisdom in all that He wills and decrees. Whoever thinks that thinking positively of Allah does not have to be connected to striving is mistaken and has not understood this act of worship correctly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified brethren. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with a new topic, inshallah, to discuss with each other. The topic that we want to discuss it today is having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is, in Islamic terms, called husn al-dhann billah. We should cut our hope from anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know that our only hope in material and spiritual affairs, not only in material but also in spiritual affairs, is in God, in Allah. Both material and spiritual matters, in both of them, our only hope should be in Him. That's, we trust in Him. He is our whether we are talking about this world and the, let's say, the word in terms of material issues or in terms of spiritual and hereafter issues. So in both sides, we need to have full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our only hope is Allah. There is no doubt about it. But also, we have to know that He is a knot breaker. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are the one who actually make knots. But we have to pay attention to the fact that we can tie the cord ourselves. Yeah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is a knot breaker. He is the one who opens the knots, and we are the ones who actually create and make and tie knots into each together. So we have to be afraid of our own sin, as it says in hadith, وَلَا تَخَافَ إِلَّا ذَنْبَكَ. Don't be afraid of anything except your sin. We have to understand that it's us who are tying ourselves in our material and spiritual affairs. So we need to trust in Him in order to actually break the knots. Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
From the ways to get closer to Allah at home, we have reading the Quran. There are so many benefits of reading the Quran. Prophet Muhammad said, whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, he will receive one good deed as 10 good deeds like it. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but rather Alif is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. This is the time to take the best opportunity to fill in as much time with the Quran. A great way to keep yourself alert and active simply by reciting one page after every prayer or listening to the beautiful recitations while doing your work. Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah. and the continuation of today's special, Thinking Well of Allah When You Are Tested. Tests come to us in a myriad of ways. We should just know that thinking well of Allah should make us look beyond the test. This test is something from Allah, and He wants to teach us, to purify us from sin, to strengthen us, and to bring us closer to Him. We do not have a cruel God. Our God is the most merciful of those who show mercy. When we approach our tests with that frame of mind, we cannot but gain from our experience, inshallah. Just as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, told us that Allah is too gracious to turn away the hand that asks Him. He's also too merciful to disappoint you and your good opinion of Him.
That's why we have the problem of depression in our societies, because many people don't really believe in the Day of Judgment. The belief in the Day of Judgment actually gives you hope. 60 million Americans are suffering from depression. Why? One of them is this. Do they truly believe in the Day of Judgment? That is why the belief in the Day of Judgment is central to the religion of Islam. So this believer makes a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because of this sin, that calls on my punishment. I have to punish him in this life and in the hereafter. Allah says, however, فَأَنظُرُ فِيمَا صَلَاحُهُ مِنْ آخِرَتِهِ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't rush. He doesn't hasten his punishment. Allah says, I look at his best interest. What's his interest for the hereafter? This person had committed a sin. A lot of the dealings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does with us, brothers and sisters, are based on our interest, if we only knew. We're always nagging and objecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't realize that what Allah has done to us is actually in our own interest. Allah says, I look at the interests of this person. My believer has committed a sin. Should I punish him in this world or in the hereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أُعَجِّلُ لَهُ عُقُوبَةَ ذَلِكَ الذَّنْبَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, because I have mercy on my servant, I will hasten the punishment here in this life, so he does not have to deal with the sin on the Day of Judgment. Which one would you rather choose, brothers and sisters? Deal with the consequences of your sin in this life or on the Day of Judgment? In the grave or here? I tell you, I can't handle the punishment of Allah in the grave on the Day of Judgment. But I can handle the difficulties of this life. The punishment that I get in this life. It's possible. It's not the end of the world. Allah has given me the patience to handle it.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special under the title of Thinking Well of Allah. That's a nice topic, so inshallah we're going to continue to discuss about it. So be with us. We leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.